Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. June 30th, 2020. My thoughts on Twitter June 30th, 2020. If people move towards changing the world by forcefully pushing property, giving out money, etc., this will be worse than instituting the Soviet regime. Any change in economic relationships must be preceded by the dissemination of knowledge about nature's purpose and program with respect to the world's development. When this coronavirus disappears, a more terrible virus will take its place. And so we will advance, spurred on by viruses. The wickedness of the ego is being revealed in the form of the coronavirus. We must compensate it with goodness, by covering the hatred with love. Until the angel of death is covered by the angel of life. We'd better hurry up and realize that we are not in crisis, but in a new state of nature, and we have to adapt to it. As quickly as possible. Otherwise our fantasies about coming out of it will lead us to complete exhaustion. It's better to be realistic about the current events and cut down on anything that isn't necessary. Michael Leitman, on Quora, what are the most lucrative future careers or professions? Our socio-economic infrastructure is currently undergoing a fateful shift away from luxury industries and to more emphasis on life's essentials. Also, we are headed to a future where more and more jobs will become taken over by automation and AI. Likewise, looking ahead, we should first and foremost realize that people's basic needs, food, shelter, clothing, education and health, have to be met, and authorities will need to prioritize the fulfillment of people's basic needs. The question then becomes, after having basic needs fulfilled, what will people engage in? With less workforce needed due to the lessening demand of luxury goods and the rise of automation and AI, coupled with a human population increasing to never-before-seen numbers, a new hole appears before us that we will need to fill. Ultimately, what professions and careers will be necessary, contributory and beneficial to society heading into the future? As our lifestyles of materialistic competitiveness will morph into much calmer and more balanced lifestyles that are more essentials-focused, in order to develop sensations of happiness, support and confidence throughout societies, we will need to put in a major amount of our time learning and building an atmosphere of positive human connection. When large swaths of populations will regularly engage in the teaching, learning and construction of positive social ties, as their new careers or professions, we will then see new well-connected societies blossom. People in such societies will develop heightened sensitivities to each other's needs, wants and feelings, as well as to the destructive tendency lurking within each person to exploit others for self-benefit, and they will exercise the maintenance of social unity and solidarity upon the divisive drives constantly itching away within. There is endless room to contribute to a society aiming to positively connect above its divisive drives. The entire range of people's skills and talents on offer can be applied, as long as they serve the creation of a positive society. However, a regular dosage of learning the wisdom of connection has to reside in such a system as a prerequisite to any activities to further human connection. Learning the wisdom of connection means both regularly acquiring knowledge about the vast-ranging benefits of positive social connection, as well as regularly engaging in connection-enhancing experiences. Our definitions of lucrative and profitable will then change according to what we would value in such a state, not the competitive individualistic forms of profit, where we prioritize the construction of our personal empires over everyone and everything else, but we would see profit in terms of how everybody gains considerable health, happiness and confidence from everyone's contribution to building a positively connected society. What would then be the most lucrative career or profession? It would be those that serve the needs of society, either in providing for people's basic needs, or in contributing to people's deeper needs for more meaningful interaction and fulfillment. The more we develop, the closer we come to the realization of our natural connection to each other, and the need to actualize such connection more and more positively. The more we work on improving our connections, the more we will grow ourselves into the discovery of a new harmonious reality. In a situation where luxury industries drop in importance, and where automation and AI will assume many of today's current jobs, we humans will need to work on what makes us human, our need to positively connect. As more and more of our engagements will set off in that direction, then the gates to a much greater sense of happiness and fulfillment will open to many more people. Michael Lateman, on Quora, how do I clean myself spiritually, and how do I start? Spiritual work starts from accepting the laws of your own correction. To do so requires reaching an understanding that rising above the ego is of utmost importance, and that connection to others as a single whole according to the rule love your neighbor as yourself is the loftiest spiritual goal, and also that achieving this goal requires a supportive environment, support and encouragement of each other's aspirations to achieve the spiritual goal. After setting yourself up in such a way, you can then make spiritual progress. The spiritual path is full of contradictory states, elation one moment, lowliness the next, ascents and descents. Sometimes we feel as if there are no spiritual states, desires or intentions before us, but if we create an environment that supports us on our way to the spiritual goal, we eventually undergo a correction of all these egoistic qualities, inverting them all into altruistic ones. As is written that love will cover all transgressions. Undergoing spiritual correction means inverting our egoistic qualities to altruistic qualities. Reaching such a state means discovering the common soul where everyone resides, with love connecting between us all. Is there a meaning of life in the life itself? Question. Does the finiteness of life give it a special meaning? The meaning that is missing in life without the fear of death, eternal life? Answer, and what's the point in such a life? That I will die like an animal and all will end? Comment, there is some kind of sharpness in this. My response, what kind of sharpness? The Marxist kind? Live for the sake of others, and they for the sake of others. And so everything for the sake of everyone, and nobody for yourself. What for? This is not the meaning of life. There can be no sense in what ends. There can be no meaning to life in life itself. This is a primitive, materialistic philosophy, which believes that there is nothing more than matter. When there is no answer to the question, then you satisfy yourself with this, forgetting about other things, convincing yourself that this is true. Question. If I am the desire to receive pleasure, what more value can there be besides pleasure, enjoyment? Answer. The fact is that receiving enjoyment is the goal of material life. Is there anything outside this? If a person does not think about it, he simply engages in the search for pleasure. Of course, it is better to enjoy than to suffer. Everyone will agree with that. But this is not meaning in itself. Nature did not create us so that we simply live our lives quietly enjoying the years allotted to us. In our development, there is a pre-prepared requirement, why? From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, May 17, 2020. I don't scare anyone. Question. If humanity is a single organism, why does the stick from nature get 98% of the body, and the brain, which is only 2%, should understand, realize and change? Answer, you ask me all sorts of tricky questions in order to avoid spiritual work and do nothing. And I don't really control the process. I don't come to you as an advertising agent or salesman and offer my product. I don't knock on your door and say, buy it. If you want, buy, if not, then don't. I'm just telling you that the next blow will be worse and will be very soon. And you practically agree with this. How do I make it so that it doesn't happen? And then you say, why should we pay such a price for it and start doing something? If there is a problem, we will solve it. But why is it necessary to bring it to the point where there is a problem? That's all I'm talking about. I'm just like you, just seeing what's going to be bad, not scaring you. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, May 3, 2020. Blitz of Kabbalah Tips, April 26, 2020, Part 1. Question: we are all connected by invisible ties. Can I feel the fears of others? Answer: there is nothing alien. Whatever you feel in this world, you feel what belongs to you. Question: what can I do about bad habits such as smoking? How can I fight them if I know they can kill me? Will I be able to reach any spiritual level with them? Answer: I don't know to what extent these habits kill you. If they bother you, then fight them. If they don't, you can keep them. They have nothing to do with Kabbalah. Question: is all the evil of the world an instrument of the Creator to attain Him? Answer: of course. All evil that exists in the world is egoism, and egoism was created precisely by the Creator. Question: what is the difference between responsibility and fear? After all, by and large, it is one and the same. Answer: no, these are two different things. Ask psychologists and they will explain how different these definitions are. Question: has the perception of your senses changed at higher levels of spiritual development? If so, then how? Can you describe your senses, including visual, audible, and others? Answer: when you rise to these levels, then we will talk about it in order to better guide you. Question: if I think for a long time that the Creator draws a picture of the world for me and He rules everything, a feeling of the illusory nature of the world arises in me, and my fear weakens. Is it a Kabbalistic device or psychology? Answer: what is the difference? This is all one and the same sensation, the same science. We should not divide all sciences into conditionally different ones. This is all general science about the universe, about its perception, and about how we can find its only common root. Question: does punishment really exist? Is it present in the Creator? Answer: there is no punishment, there are simply such conditions in which a person is not very well oriented. And therefore, it seems to you that you are being punished. But in fact you are being directed. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, April 26, 2020. What does a person's name indicate? Question: are there certain levels of attaining names? For example, my friend's name is Emmanuel. What can be said about this name? Answer: the name Emmanuel means God is with us in Hebrew. It is a very ancient name from the Torah. Question: does a name characterize a person? Answer: no. If we knew the source of a newborn soul, we could give him a name according to the source of one's soul, as described in the Torah. But we don't know it, and so we give arbitrary names. We will scrutinize this in the future. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, December 8, 2019. You just need to want it. Question: can I change something in myself? Am I my own master? What should I do to achieve lasting changes? Answer: if you want to, you can do it. For this, there is a method of correcting yourself as an egoist, and this method is described in our courses. Go to the archives on our site and see everything that is said about it. Choose what you want, read, get interested, find friends and a group, go ahead. Question: I want to be in the integral connections, but I understand that I am an egoist. What can I do alone? Answer: you are all egoists. When you get together and learn how to help each other in a way that complements one another, then you will instantly see how both you and nature will become balanced, tranquil, and benevolent. This is all very quickly corrected, you just need to start listening and wanting it. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, May 10, 2020. New Life 1239. The Coronavirus and Human Evolution.
Shalom lachem, toda shatem.
Hello to all of you, thank you for joining us. This is our series of New Life Talks. Hello, Dr. Michael Leitman. Today's show is show number 1239, and the subject for today's show is coronavirus as a cause for an evolutionary process. As we see what happened here on Earth, we see that humanity, or everything on Earth, went through a process called evolution. And many times it was kickstarted by some big natural disaster, something that caused evolution, rapid evolution in species. The strong survived, the weak died out, and so nature developed until we come to a state, the state we are in today. There are some who see this coronavirus disaster as a kind of evolutionary kickstart, something that's supposed to facilitate the change, transformation of various species, but mostly mankind. Do you see the coronavirus as a blow meant to or destined to evolve humanity? Dr. Leitman, I've been talking about this for 2 months now. 2 months. From the moment it appeared, I talked about it before as well, but not with relation to the coronavirus. But when this blow came about, I said, ah, finally it has arrived. Finally it has arrived. And now humanity will change. Whether it wants to or not, because the coronavirus will first of all remove from us all the unnecessary things. It will lower us, humiliate us, it will close us in our houses, in our homes, it will limit us in terms of our business and engagement to only the very crucial, the absolute necessary things. It will re-educate us properly so that we know how to relate to each other and to humanity as a whole and to nature in general, the world. It will erase all the businesses which people opened and developed throughout the past 80 years, which are of absolutely no use. There's no need for them. It's only just about making a profit off of each other, playing around with each other. It will all now collapse and vanish as though it never existed. And we remain in a way where 10 or 15% maximum of humanity continues working. I'm talking about percentages. I'm not saying that I'm not talking about everyone working half a day now or something like that, exactly how to do it, but 10% or so of humanity has to work, and everything else, well, there is no need to do. The rest don't need to work. Let them sit at home to educate their children, and mostly 100% of humanity, everyone, will engage in education, integral education, to know what we need to be, to learn how to be compatible with nature, to be parts of nature. Not a mechanism that is in contrast to nature, in opposition to nature, but to the contrary, a supportive mechanism. One that is drawn towards connection and the correction of the whole of nature. And we are there in the middle. we will see that, of course, with that, the way people relate to their families will change, the way they relate to nature. We will stop, necessarily so, we will stop corrupting nature. We won't be pouring out oil like all those tankers in the oceans. You know, it's thousands of tankers full of oil. They can't sell the oil now, so they're pouring it out into the oceans. Do you know? Billions of tons of oil, crude oil, now being poured into the sea. It's so terrible what they're doing. So all those things, we will finally... we will finally put a stop to that and advance towards a different kind of life. And of course, the human being needs to be transformed. Governments have to be transformed. But there is no choice. It will change. More so or less, meaning more quickly or less quickly or more easily or through blows and riots, etc. But it will change because you don't have enough work for everyone to do on one hand. On the other, people themselves, the people don't want to return to what they did before. They'll very quickly get used to you paying them some scholarship, let's call it, but also demand that they participate in mandatory education for everyone. Oh, and so what conditions, every time there's an evolutionary process, transformation, nature changes the conditions of life, and one who can adapt survives, the one who can't, well, is gone. So what conditions will a person have to adapt himself to in order to continue on living? What will be the new conditions for life? Dr. Lightman, the new conditions for existence for me to live in the world is such that there's a need for me to exist here in order to correct the world, and I correct the world by working against my ego in connection with others, with the whole of humanity, and in connection with the inanimate, vegetative and animate degrees. So the coronavirus, how will it propel us into this process of change? What will be the stages of this change, and what outcome will this process of evolution bring about? What is the new person and how will he develop? Dr. Lightman, the coronavirus, its effects on us, we see, it's apparent. There's no choice about it. The person shouts, I want to return to work, I have a barber shop, I have a capacity of 20 people in the barber shop, I want to return to work. I have a restaurant for 200 people, I want to return to work. But there are no buyers. You have no customers. So what of it? Of you reopening the business. So we expanded ourselves in such a way, we built thousands of service establishments for which there was no need. We just grew accustomed to using those. But now we checked and we saw, we know that we no longer want them. We don't. You'll see. The person who opens a restaurant, a barber shop, all these things, even sports. So you have a park, go run in the park. You have something to do at home, you can have some sort of exercise instruments at home. People will not want to, I'm not sure it'll be so fast with sports actually, but in general, I'll tell you, people will be much more calm. We have entered a new age in which we will need to invest more in ourselves. In ourselves. Who am I? What am I? Why was I born? For what purpose? Soon I will die. What do I need to get around to doing in my life? Is there a need for life? Is there purpose or meaning to life? If so, how do I get there? How do I actualize it? We will want to know, and take care of those questions. Owen, when speaking about evolution, one of the main themes in evolution is that the strongest survives. So the strong survive, some alteration comes about in, well, the conditions that nature presents to whatever is living in it, the creatures, created beings, the animals, and those who adapt survive, those who don't perish. So I want to scrutinize now this difference between weak and strong with respect to the evolutionary process we're undergoing now. Can you relate to this process now as one where nature is selecting from among us? Right? It's natural selection, where the strong advance and the weak perish. And if so, who are weak? We see in the coronavirus, from the coronavirus, that it's those who have a weakened immune system, those who are old, those who have some comorbidity. For them, it's more difficult to survive this disease. So what will be the qualities required for a person to survive, and what are the qualities with which one cannot survive? Dr. Leitman, there's no such thing. What will happen is that each and every one will need to work with his ego in order to bring himself to integrate with the general society. We're all in one integral global society. We all are part of one single humanity, one single family. We all depend on each other, and this mutual dependency will become more and more apparent. We got only the first blow from the coronavirus, showing us that we are interdependent. More blows will come. Such signs, such conditions that we cannot even imagine now, and I don't even want to think, to ponder them. Where without me connecting to others, relating to them as I relate to myself, I'm forbidden from even going out the house. Oh, and what does it mean to connect to others, to relate to them as I relate to myself? Dr. Leitman, well, if I don't think of you the way I think about myself, where we have a virus between us, not only on a biological level, but let's call it on an ideological level, then you give me your virus, I give you my virus, our ego is such that I don't want to recognize you and you don't want to recognize me. But this will become apparent in a much more palpable way. I don't love you, I don't want you, you're a hindrance, your very life is a hindrance to me. That's how people work now in thought and in terms of their inner desire. But this is not apparent. But such viruses will come, and we will come to feel that this is how it works. And if I think badly of someone else, then this affects me in return and can kill me. Meaning that it's forbidden for us to even have any contact with each other until we receive a correction. You understand how frightening? Because we understand who we are. What can we do? Owen, so with such a definition, how will you define the strong which will survive or the weak which will perish? Dr. Leitman, one is strong when he can overcome his ego and to invert his ego to a form of love of others. Owen, this is the quality that will be required in order to survive the evolutionary process that we're facing? Dr. Leitman, yes. I don't think it'll be right now immediately, but you know what's written in the books of prophets about such states exactly, and even worse. Owen, if I want to survive, I want to be part of the group of people who will survive these changes. What do I need to develop in order to survive? Dr. Leitman, love of others, nothing else, only concern for others. If you go out to the street and you're concerned about everyone rather than yourself, everyone else, then you have no fear. You're unlimited, there's no limitation, nothing. People come to you, they measure you, like today we measure people's body temperature, and they say, good, you can go wherever you want, you're pure, you're clean. You have no, you don't have the ego virus. Oh, and so what will be measured tomorrow? Today my temperature is measured, and Dr. Lightman, you need to constantly work on this. Oh, and so I'm asking, according to the new definitions you're giving here, if today they measure my body temperature, tomorrow they'll measure other things for me to be allowed to come into contact with other people? Lightman, Dr. Lightman, yes, yes. Oh, and what will they measure? Dr. Lightman, they'll measure to see if you have, they'll test you to see if you have this virus called the ego. And on what level? Perhaps it's not on a such a, on such a terrible level, because you've been working on it, and you had, let's say, ego rated 1,000, and now you have an ego rated 20. So you're allowed to walk the streets, to go wherever you want. You're not to be feared under those terms. But in more critical situations, there perhaps you can be harmful. Oh, and when we study evolution, we see that sometimes nature changes the conditions for existence, and species in nature develop a certain mutation, which survives. And other, those who didn't mutate that way don't survive. So what is the mutation a person has to develop which allows him to survive as opposed to the form of mankind which will not survive? So what will happen to allow us to go forward? Dr. Lightman, the egoistic, the evil person will perish. This is how nature created him. And whatever we establish upon that egoistic person, the altruistic person, the one who loves others, who is willing to work on love the other as thyself, on connection between everyone, this person will survive, and he will be great and respected. Owen, why do you think this quality in particular is the one which will guarantee survival? There's some quality here that doesn't attest to the... Well, it has nothing to do with the person's own attributes, but his ability to connect with others. Dr. Lightman, yes, of course, that's the most important attribute, because we are in a global, integral nature. All of its parts are interconnected in a complete, perfect way. The inanimate, vegetative and animate degrees, except for the human being, the degree of speaking, he's different to everything else. He's egoistic, he's willing to do anything to nature, to other people, just in order to be higher than them, and he doesn't care, he can kill everything and everyone. So if we correct the human being, we correct the whole of reality, including the inanimate, vegetative, and animate degrees. And that's what we need to do. Owen, there's a very subtle point here, which I can't exactly grasp. You say, on one hand, that a person who is a greater egoist won't survive these evolutionary changes. On the other hand, a person who has the ability to protect himself, then in harsher conditions he can still survive. Meaning, a person who is stronger is supposed to be better capable of surviving. Dr. Lightman, what do you mean by strong? I don't understand what you mean by strong. It seems to me that one who is strong is one who can overcome his ego in that new state. Oh, why is that the main strength required for us to survive? Dr. Lightman, because by that I connect to the whole of nature. I complete nature, making it whole. And I don't remain as a person, a human being, who is opposed to nature, which nature cannot tolerate. As it is written, his hand is in everything and the hand of everything is in him. Oh, and the strength of the people around me, how will it affect me? What kind of person does he need to be? Does a person need to be with respect to the others around him in order to survive? Dr. Lightman, he needs to be as one system. They need to be as one system. No single cell can exist, but you need the whole complement of cells for the body to exist. Oh, and we talked about the strong, let's talk about the weak. In every evolutionary transformation process, the weak fall. Who will be the weak one who cannot survive? Dr. Lightman, one who cannot overcome his ego. Oh, and so how will this manifest? What will we see? Dr. Lightman, we'll see him falling. He didn't receive enough strength from the society. He didn't receive enough of the integral education. He doesn't see that he has to be interconnected like that, connected to everyone in an integral way. He didn't fulfill his natural potential correctly, because from birth we all receive the correct, the proper qualities and attributes. And then comes the ego and teaches us how to use all these attributes in a way which is inverted, which is to our own detriment and the detriment of everyone else. And if we correct it, then again we correct the usage of this ego in all areas of life, so such that it works in our benefit and everyone's benefit. Owen, okay, so you said that nature creates people with good attributes. There's no person that nature created as weak or strong, willing or able to survive or unable to survive. Nature creates everyone with the proper attributes and everyone can survive. Dr. Lightman, the person is born complete. Owen, and it doesn't matter what specific attributes he has. Dr. Lightman, so everyone can be strong. Owen, so evolutionarily speaking, everyone is powerful enough to survive. Dr. Lightman, of course. Owen, so what spoils us? If nature made us all strong, what makes us weak midway through? Dr. Lightman, the fact that I want to control others, the inanimate, the vegetative and the animate degrees, I want to control, to rule over everything. That's the problem. And if I use this in order to control, govern everything as a service to everyone else, that's it then. Then I correct everything. Oh, and okay, so there's a point here I cannot exactly get hold of. If I want to control, to rule over everyone, what does it mean? And if I succeed, what does it mean? It means that I'm strong. Dr. Lightman, yes. Owen, so if I'm strong, how can it be that I won't survive the change? I am supposed to survive. Dr. Lightman, if you invert this desire to rule over others and want to rule over yourself, you will be strong and survive. Owen, why? Why isn't it that I'm strong and I can survive if I rule over others? I have more money, I have more... Dr. Lightman, no, you have no support from nature. You're not making use of the integral force of nature. It's as if you're rising against the power of God, against nature, against everyone. I am the king. And then nothing will help you. Only to understand that the integrality of nature, of the global nature, that compels you to work, to bring all of humanity to the same state. Owen, in the more advanced state towards which this coronavirus wants to promote us, so in the more advanced evolutionary state, how will we define a strong person? How does he relate to others? How wise is he? How rich? How sensitive? What in him allowed him to be strong in the new world? Dr. Lightman, it's only those who know how to pull society towards unity. And why does that make one strong? Why does this quality give one strength? Dr. Lightman, because he is using the general force of nature, which is one, which is integral. He has something to rely on. Owen, very curious, this force. Previously also I said, if a person rules over everyone, he's the richest, strongest. Dr. Lightman, yes, but today he lives, tomorrow he dies. What do you mean the most? Some virus comes and that's it, finished. Owen, and this force of nature, as you call it, the integral force, one who connects to it becomes strong? Dr. Lightman, yes, he becomes strong. No virus will take him, no virus. He feels life to be eternal. He is above life and death. Because he belongs to the integrality of nature, he's affiliated with it. The whole world is connected to him and he is connected to the whole world. He supports all of nature. Oh, and what are the evolutionary conditions for one to be able to connect to that strong force of nature, the integral force? How can I bring it into my life to ride atop it? Dr. Lightman, I don't exactly understand the question, but you understand that all of nature is this way. You simply need to see the general force in nature as the greatest force, which is also above you, and you belong to it. Oh, and how do I bring it into my life? How do I connect to it? Dr. Lightman, through the society, by incorporating into a society, and there you ascribe yourself to the society, to the force of nature that's within it. Oh, and a person today walks everywhere with a charger for his cell phone. So if the battery is over and he's empty, he can find a socket. So you said that one who knows how to connect to that integral force of nature, he will be strong, he will survive all the changes. So I got this picture in my mind where there's an unlimited force, power in nature, and only a person who is smart enough to know how to connect to it, it's like a cell phone charger that keeps filling him with energy and allowing him to survive whatever change happens. So can any person truly connect to that force in any situation, from any condition, every place? What does it depend on, Dr. Lightman? On the influence he has over others and they over him, because I begin to accept nature and myself and all of human society as one and the same. There's no difference between us. The inanimate, the vegetative, the animate, the speaking degree, they're all nature, and I have to reach some affiliation, identification, or connection to nature as a whole. And so, of course, as a result, I will act positively towards other people and towards everything and everyone. And I'm thinking only about the equilibrium, about the balance of all parts of creation, for them to reach this balanced state. That is called Havaya. Oh, and last question. Our time is running out. So this improved person who survives the evolutionary process, what is renewed in him? What will he get? What will he have? Dr. Lightman, he feels that he lives eternally. He feels the whole world from end to end. He feels himself truly as the king of the world. Oh, can anyone be a king? Dr. Lightman, each one must. It's not that he can. Each one must be a king. And until we complete this completely with every person in the world, because each one from the root of his soul is special, unique. So until everyone do that, creation will not be completed and the viruses won't stop. Good viruses, though. Oh, and good viruses. Thank you very much, Dr. Michael Lightman. Good viruses. Thank you all for being with us. Goodbye.